Good evening. Welcome along. You're listening to The Last Leg with Jordan Norris on WLR. Coming up on tonight's show, what a fantastic weekend it's been. Waterford Minor Hurlers through to the All-Ireland Final. We'll be hearing about a brand new film, Rocket Woman, produced by WLR's Tomás McCarthy, featuring the life and times of Waterford Camogie star Niamh Rocket. We'll be reflecting on a disappointing night for Waterford FC in Sligo. But where else to start than that fantastic 221-218 victory, Waterford versus Kilkenny in the All-Ireland Minor Hurling Championship Final, a famous night at Wexford Park.
Welcome everybody live here to Wexford Park. It's the All-Ireland semi-final. It's the big one for our minor hurlers. Waterford taking on Kilkenny. Waterford hoping to get back to the final for the very first time since 2013. Sean, this is what it's all about. It's down to this. Joxer's had these guys week on week. They've gone through it. Now it's time to deliver.
This is it. It's time to play the game now and not the occasion, and concentrate on the ball and what your job is.
Ball up towards Jamie Shanahan. Can he win that ball? Very near the sideline. Again, find the heart to pick it up, but he gets it on the second attempt. Jamie has turned his marker, heading for the D. Turns off his left. Should put this one over. Is it turning over? Yes, it is. Brilliant play by the Aaron's own man. And our George Corbett Motors big match here, live from Wexford Park. Great puck out here by Jack Power. Great play by the Ballygunnerman inside the D, tries to turn to his left, takes a shot. Oh, that's a great score by the Ballygunnerman. Ball goes back to Hugo. Hugo going for a long one, takes his shot. Oh, that's a great score by Hugo Quanah-Lismore. A lot
score.
Of Capricorn roots there, but he's a proud Lismore man, sends it over the bar. Jack Power sends it into the full forward line. Now a chance for Dylan Murphy. Snaps the ball. 13 yards back. Unlucky for some. Not unlucky for Dylan Murphy, and the huge Waterford support. We're outnumbering, I'd say, 3-1 down under. We a chance here from Garrod O'Shea. Give it into Spain. Takes the chance. Goal for Waterford! 18 and a half minutes gone. Who but the man with the yellow helmet? That's Cormac Spain. Well set up, but brilliantly finished by Spain.
Shane Power going for a long one, and Shane Power's put it over the bar
to Garrod O'Shea. Going for a long one, and Garrod has sent it over the bar.
What a score.
Bradley sends it up to Spain. Can Spain get into his hand? He has it in his hand. Spain going through. What's he going to do? Goal! What a goal by Spain! Who better to get it? Bradley Pankin put it out in front of him. He turned his marker. Paul Flynn turned, because Paul Flynn knew that's what he could do. Paul Flynn did it in 92, and now Spain has got a second in 2025. Jack Power goes high, but the ball won instead by Jamie. Jamie Shanahan takes the shot, and Jamie Shanahan puts it over the bar. The stopwatch says 64 minutes. The scoreboard says 221-218. Waterford are leading by three. When is the referee going to blow this whistle?
Blow this whistle.
It's over! It's over! And Waterford are back in the All-Ireland Final for the fifth time in our history. 221-218. What a finish by Waterford. What a display by Waterford. From 1-15 and all the subs. But to the management, we say, well done, lads. Sean Power alongside me. You know what it takes to win it. This is a special group. This is a special night for Waterford.
Kieran, I'm just so delighted for them all. The management, the players, everything. I mean, all they did tonight, all they've done all year, those setbacks against Cork, the resilience they've shown, their composure, the tackles, the turnover without ball as well, the forwards working, and incredible. Nothing more they deserve tonight. Fantastic.
Joined by Waterford minor manager James Joxer O'Connor. James, famous night for Waterford hurling. That was just hard to put into words.
Yeah, probably one of the best minor matches I've ever seen. And in fairness to our own lads, the attitude they showed, the work rate, the skill level outside there, because it was tough conditions at the time, was unbelievable. I'm very proud of each and every one of them outside there. They put themselves in an All-Ireland, which was hard to believe, but yeah, we're there now, that's brilliant.
Absolutely, and I mean, resilience is such a key factor in this team. Like, I mean, you couldn't have wanted, I suppose, a worse start than to go behind, a goal behind after a couple of seconds, but they just offer everything in terms of a response. They just work so hard. I think the intensity tonight was just unbelievable. From 1-15, like, you could have had 15 out of the matches.
You could, like, to be honest with you, the defence of that was outstanding, midfield, and same with the forward line. Everyone put in the big shift. Like, look, I said this all year, and I kept on saying it, that, you know, the group are always going to click. It's a case of when. They clicked tonight, and I was right. So I'm delighted. I'm seeing that week in, week out of training. he got to see tonight for 63 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm happy about. And I knew if they performed like I've been seeing at training, they would win. And delighted. You know, Kilkenny are an exceptional team. They were in All-Ireland last year. They were coming back here to get back into another one to undo what happened last year, and we stopped them in their tracks.
Yeah, because you said after the Limerick game that you thought in a way the lads were still in a way kind of playing within themselves. Did you think we saw something more reminiscent of what you've been saying they're capable of all year?
Oh, 100%. Like, I've been saying that after a number of games, but and especially after the Limerick game again, I always think there's way more in them. But you saw it tonight, like I said, the last day after the Limerick game, they played at 70%. Tonight they played up to 95-100% of their capacity. There was guys there, and even coming in, like, they were hurting, you know. You could see the cramp starting with a lot of them. They emptied the load tonight. Everything was given. There was no more left. But they came out winners because of it.
Absolutely. Goals win games, and I think the two goals that you got, midway points in both half, were just, they came exactly at the right time. They're exactly what you needed in those moments.
Yeah, look, goals win matches. They always say that, you know. It's nice to keep the scoreboard ticking over with points, but when you get goals at vital times in games, that's what wins the matches. And like Cormac's second goal there was a brilliant goal, and it kind of set up the team then, you know, for the home straight then. And as I said, then we got over the line with it.
Absolutely. And you said in the build-up that you wanted to see more from your forwards. Obviously, there is a bit of a scoring reliance on Cormac in the Championship so far. But the likes of Jamie Shanahan, Shane Power, Garrod O'Shea, they really, really stepped up tonight. I don't think you could have asked for any more from your players in general.
No, look, we've been having hard conversations over the last 2 weeks, trying to get the best out of everyone. And like, I knew coming here tonight that we were going to dig deep, and it was a case of, you know, just everything clicking and just, you know, a bounce of the ball here and there. And we got those little breaks tonight, and in fairness to the lads, you know, they dished out the work rate, and, you know, it was just a joy to watch it, didn't they?
Absolutely. An All-Ireland final to look forward to now in 2 weeks' time. Cork or Clare, teams you'll already have played against before. We have business to settle with Cork, of course, as well, but I mean, whoever is in front of us, it's an All-Ireland final. And I just put the call out to water for people as well. Yeah. We've seen tremendous travelling support in Wexford Park tonight. We need it again and again and again.
Well, sure, look, I keep saying that all the time, you know. I made it very clear over the last 2 weeks, we need people to travel to these games. I was on that sideline there tonight, and the crowd was right in on top of us. And the amount of Waterford support, it was just unbelievable. And that was driving the players. There was like, there was times during that game there, and it was nip and tuck. We were behind. Crowd then just started to lift the players, and the players were just responding then, you know. So, look, having the support is unbelievable, and, you know, we've a great having support, and I hope we get double the amount for the All-Ireland now.
Absolutely. Just to say as a final note, James, I know it's not just the product, as you said, of 64 minutes of hurling tonight. This is the product of 3 years' work for yourself and the lads tonight. You must be so proud of what's been achieved, but still there's one step to go.
Yeah, look, what we've been doing over the last 3 years have been unbelievable. As I said, look, there was a couple of lads who've been with me, have been with these lads since they were under 14. A lot of them came in last year with me then, and we brought everyone together. And that was the biggest thing, we all working together with the players. And this is what we've achieved. This is the first bunch of players that really have come through a proper strength and conditioning in Waterford.
Yes.
From under 14 level. And now you see the rewards when you do things right. You know, to have a team now in All Ireland minor final again, these are things that in Waterford doesn't happen easily. So there needs to be a massive push at all grades. But look, here we are now, 3 years on, and we're in a final.
Absolutely. Days like these don't come too often, so we'll enjoy them. But really, really looking forward to the All Ireland final. James, massive congratulations and well done. And we're really looking forward to 2 weeks' time.
Thanks a million.
How much time of extra time are we going to play? I know we had a big stoppage for Bradley Pentwood. Ball in the middle of the field. Is that one over the... The referee wins a free for Waterford there. I thought
Cormac's
it was all over.
Here.
Cormac's
turn
came out and won that ball.
Won a ball to turn
in
over.
In the middle of the field.
To win a free for Waterford.
He's literally out on his legs as they all are. The stopwatch says 64 minutes. The scoreboard says 221 to 218. Waterford leading by 3. When is the referee going to blow this whistle? Bradley Penker went down. We had a few minute stoppages there. But my God, it can't be more than 4, Sean.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
I didn't see the board with the excitement.
As clean as the game was, it was a little bit of a stoppage with Bradley, but aside from that, it wasn't much.
So back to take the free, Cormac Spain, 2-6 to his credit. Is this one going to go over? No, it drops short. Kilkenny have it now. And all, it's over! It's over! And Waterford
are back in the All-Ireland final for the fifth time in our history. 221 to 218. What a finish by Waterford. What a display by Waterford. From 1 to 15 and all the subs. But to the management, we say, well done, lads. Sean Power alongside me. You know what it takes to win it. This is a special group. Oh. This is a special night for Waterford.
Oh, Kieran, I'm just so delighted for them all. The management, the players, everything. I mean, all they did tonight, all they've done all year, those setbacks against Cork, the resilience they've shown, their composure, their... the tackles, I, you know, the turnover without ball as well, the forwards working, and incredible. Nothing more they deserve tonight. Fantastic, isn't it? Great to be back in an All-Ireland Minor Final.
Hard to believe, 2013, 12 years away, Pat Flynn running out there, but James O'Connor and the backroom team, they had the right frame of mind tonight. After a dreadful start, Kilkenny hit a goal inside the first minute. A weaker team would have collapsed, but the better Waterford got, but the intensity, but the skill level was through the roof.
They dusted themselves off after a mistake within the first minute, and that's what good teams do. They're able to compose themselves, push themselves towards the next ball, and that's what Waterford did. And the backs, Kieran, tonight were incredible. Oh, the full match, because those marquee forwards for Kilkenny were really good hurlers. Now Waterford kept them to a minimum, put them under pressure, a lot of wides, enforced wides from the backs as well. Half back line were incredible, midfield worked well. You know, what a nice, brilliant team.
Kilkenny after the half time came in and really drove seven scores. We got one or two back, but it really looked Kilkenny, they got in front in the end, and I really liked that they were going to drive on.
But you have that as well, you're always going to get that with Kilkenny. And Waterford, you know, they weathered the storm, got on a bit of ball, and then started taking their own scores.
221 to 218, a famous victory. But every one of them had to dig deep. Not alone the great scores, but the defensive play, the blocking, the hooking, the tracking back. And as you mentioned there, Cormac Spain coming right out in the middle of the field to track back and win that important
look
three.
What he got 2-6 today, but he probably got about 5 turnovers as well. It's, you know, it's that sort of thing that really, you know, they win matches, they win championships. A couple of scores are great, but it's the turnovers as well, all that hard work that the Waterford players did. The players came on, and Josh and Quillen came on as well. It got stronger. It was brilliant. What a performance by all. Well done to the management as well. I mean, I thought they did very well.
But the quality of for 17, 16 year olds was just superb. Greasy conditions with rain in the second half. Kilkenny with 8 of the team that were just pipped in last year's All-Ireland final. The quality was just through the roof.
Oh yeah, from minute one to the very end. Yeah, it was a fantastic game of hurling. Really brilliant. Great, enjoyable. Neutrals would have really loved that one.
Glad to be joined now once again by Jordan. Jordan, at half time we said we were doing well. Then Kilkenny stormed into the start of the second half. It looked like it was going to be Kilkenny, but my God, we dug deep, and what a finish, 221-218.
Unbelievable, Kieran. You know, when Kilkenny got those 5 points in a row at the start of the second half, you're really wondering, was it gone? Was it tight after turning? But like exactly at the moment, midway through the first half, it's like history repeats itself. Cormac Spain, once he finds space off the shoulder, he's lethal. He's absolutely lethal. But the performance from 1 to 15 today, Kieran, what a day for all of these young lads. They've all picked to have their best games in Waterford shirt so far.
But hats off to Joxer, Paul Flynn, Nicholas Mackey, and I think Seamus Hannon, and Tommy, the coach, Tommy Ryan, because not alone was the skill level high, but the intensity and the quality of the work rate was just superb.
Absolutely, like Sean Power here beside us, you'd know full well, Sean, it's not just about the physical attributes, it's about the mental side of it as well. It's about the resilience. It's about how you respond to the setbacks. And everything that Kilkenny threw at Waterford, they responded, and they responded with twice as much as well. First of the 50-50 balls, the heart, the character, the attitude. That's what wins your games of hurling. It's not just about the skill levels. We have skill in abundance, but if you don't have the right mindset to go with it, it doesn't work. And I think we can see this team, they really just have it in spades.
Well, if you look at it, Jordan, just in terms of the beginning of the first half, beginning of the second half, because Kilkenny were on top, right? We embraced that, we took it, and then we got control of it. When we got our purple patch, we made a count. Cormac Spain's second goal as well. You know, again, as I said to Kieran already, the turnovers from the inside forwards as well, that work rate we showed throughout the field, particularly in the forwards as well, it was, you know, second to none. And that's where champions come from.
Absolutely.
It's that sort of intensity.
Yeah. The lift, as it meant for Waterford, because we needed this. We're going through a bad spell with underage. Sean led us to the minor in 2013, under 21-16. Since then, we've been really only on scraps. This team, we believed in, and Joxer believed them a year ago, because he's 11 of them still involved, 8 of them started tonight. So full credit to Joxer and the backroom team, because this didn't happen overnight.
Absolutely. I mean, history would always tell you about Waterford and Kilkenny in semi-finals gear, and it's always kind of gone the other way. We all remember the famous night back in 2020,
the night against Kilkenny when we came back. And again, I think you just seen shades of that tonight. The only difference was it was minor. And I think this is just going to be, it feels like a watershed moment for Waterford Hurling in a way.
Sean, as a Garnison manager here, winning that semi-final, the euphoria here tonight, getting on ground for the All-Ireland final. It's hard to believe All-Ireland final, St. Louis.
Yeah, isn't it brilliant? You know, and nothing more than deserve. You must say that, you know, we've come up against some good, tough teams in the Munster Championship. Cork turned us over already. In my view, after watching some of these games, the four semi-finalists are the four top counties in it, right? You know, the fact that I know there was commentary around the Leinster Championship being weaker than Munster, but I didn't see anything weak about that Kilkenny team tonight. Now, they are incredible, and you know, it takes a very good Waterford team to turn them
over.
But
Sean, from Jock's point of view, you were the minors, they were 18, these are 17, 16 years old. Getting them grounded, getting tonight out of their system, and getting them geared for an All Ireland final, because they don't come every week, as we well know in Waterford.
This is it, there's an element to this as well. There's needs management now, and this is important. But you remember, like, you know, somebody. These guys, they just take it in their stride. They have up to now, they've taken it in their stride. They just played the game tonight, they played what was in front of them, they did the job. Please God, they'll do that in an All-Ireland final in 2 weeks time.
I don't like picking up man of the match, because there wasn't a man of the match from Waterford point of view, 1-15 as you mentioned earlier, and the subs that came on. Quaylon got a great score as well.
He really did as well. I think they announced on the intercom that it was Conor Lynch, and obviously, but it's as you said, Kieran, it's a fantastic thing when you have such a level of a choice, like from 1-15. Even Comerford made a fantastic save late on. You had Conor Lynch, you had Bradley Penkert carried off the field, a fantastic game. Tommy Kennedy, Garrod
O'Shea, centre back,
Shane Power. Look, I could go through the whole team, but you know what? I think it was, as I said earlier, I think it was a perfect night for these lads to step up. I was worried at the start of the day, maybe they might be overawed by the sense of the occasion. But if anything, they revelled in it. They really just relished it. And I think, you know, I don't mean this in a disrespectful sense to Kilkenny, but I felt from the first whistle tonight, the way they went about it, I thought Waterford wanted it more. Okay.
Sean, the support we have to mention, because when Waterford got those goals, like, there's a huge stand here, I'd say 4/5 or 5-1, I'd say it was Waterford.
Yeah, look, it means so much to the players on field and management as well. And when you do something right and you can drive on the team, and they can hear it, they can feel it, they can feel the energy from the stand, Kieran. It's so important that we get a good crowd at the final now as well, and we push these guys on, because these guys have a real chance of doing something historic in Waterford.
What a night. It's going to live long in the memory that night at Wexford Park, and it'll be Waterford versus Clare in the All-Ireland Minor Hurling Championship final. The banner beating Munster champions Cork 27 points to 122 in Thurles yesterday. An excellent performance from Paul Rogers with 13 points. Waterford did beat Clare 121 to 115 when the sides met in Munster, a 6-point victory for the Daisha, but that will count for nothing come final day. We don't have a confirmed fixture just yet, but we imagine the game will be played on Sunday the 29th of June in Thurles, and of course we will bring it to you live on WLR. Coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from a friend of the programme, Tomás McCarthy, on his brand new feature film about Waterford Camogie star Niamh Rockett. Welcome back. You're listening to part two of The Last Leg with Jordan Norris on WLR. Now, we'll keep our attentions on Gaelic games. As part of a TG Cahir Nemeton course, our very own Tomás McCarthy has produced a fantastic film on the life and times of Waterford Camogie star Niamh Rockett. The event was recently premiered at the SGC Cinema in Dungarvan, but there was a second screening held in Rockett's Bar in Kilmacthomas on Friday night, where many of Niamh's family and friends gathered, as did Tomás's. Our very own Dimphna Nugent went along to attend the premiere, and she spoke to both Tomás and Niamh about why they came together to produce this incredible film.
Tomás McCarthy, GAA correspondent extraordinaire. There wasn't a seat to be had this evening here in Rockett's in Kilmacthomas, and it's all because of you and the extraordinary narrative that you created with the wonderful Niamh Rockett. How do you feel having seen it on the screen for a second time?
A bit overwhelmed, Dimphna. Yeah, the support was absolutely terrific tonight. Niamh was the star of the show. I think she's absolutely inspirational, the way she's battled back from several knee injuries at this stage, like having arthritis in her knee. The way she's played on through the pain barrier, shown such grit and determination. And just how she dealt with the physical and mental challenges was absolutely incredible. And she was a pleasure to work with on this project from start to finish.
And when you were sitting down all those months ago, down in Nemeton in On Ryan, and you thought, what am I going to base my documentary on? Had you known Niamh's backstory to say, I definitely want to approach Niamh Rockett about this? Or did you just have this awareness, Tomás, from your career that you knew there's a story here?
Yeah, the first day I went into Nemeton, we were asked for ideas for our documentary or short film. And I said, Rocket Woman. That was the, had it the first day, so I knew. But actually, Niamh did an interview on WLR about 4 years ago. We did a series called The Sporting Life. I knew from that interview that there was a documentary in Niamh. I didn't really know the half of it, to be honest about it. I mean, I didn't know the struggles that she had in terms of her mental health. And I was blown away by her, just her openness and her honesty throughout it. Like, and I remember when Niamh was telling me about that story, and it just blew me away. It just knocked me for six, really. The story is really special to me because, like, I've kind of gone through those same things myself in terms of, you know, being prescribed antidepressants, going through depression as well. So it really struck a chord when Niamh started talking about those things as well. Anybody that knows Niamh, she's an open book, and I think that really comes through so powerfully in the documentary.
She told her story to you so, as you say, openly and honestly, but that can only be, Tomás, because of the trust that you've built up over years of following Niamh in her career, because it's very hard to open up to somebody like that. And when you know there's a shared struggle, and even before you know there's a shared struggle, there has to be that trust.
Yeah, like, there is definitely that kind of special bond there. You know, I've been probably following the Waterford Camogie team for 15 years from juniors into me to senior, and you get to know the players, but they're always so appreciative when you come down and do interviews, and they always say thanks very much for coming down, and you do develop that close relationship. And even after Waterford beat Tipperary in the All-Ireland semi-final a couple of years ago, I went to interview Niamh, and straight away it was a big hug after the match. Like, so it's just amazing. And like, I'm so lucky and grateful to Niamh and her family as well for sharing the story of me. Like, it's been incredible.
And your wider career, Tomás, I mean, we hear you so often commentating so expertly on WLR. You report for so many papers, both local and national. You have a genuine talent, Tomás, that you understand each player. You understand the game. You can recall statistics at the drop of a hat. You obviously have an unbelievable grow, a huge passion for GAA and for the wider sport.
Yeah, look, it comes from my family, really, who are here tonight, and my father bringing me to matches. Like, I mean, the first year we went was in 98, and Waterford went all the way to the All-Ireland semi-final that year, and that just kicked it off. And I used to bring a pen to matches, and I used to jot down the score in the programme, and that's continued on ever since, obviously. So, like, it comes from my father and my family, and like, my family have been a terrific support. My mum and dad, like, you know, when I was starting off in journalism, like, I wasn't able to drive, and my dad was driving me to matches here, there, just to get me started. Like, so they've been a huge support, and my girlfriend Brenda as well has been incredibly supportive and patient as well over the years, so I have to give her a mention as well.
Tomás McCarthy, I speak for myself and for wider WLR. We are so proud of you for what you've achieved here this evening, for telling somebody's story with such delicacy, I suppose, and compassion. And if it was my story, Tomás, to tell, I'd be banging on your door to tell it. And it wasn't an easy thing to go down to Nemeton, to go back and learn Irish and say, do you know what, let's give this a spin. You have done unbelievable work, and it's only the beginning, Tomás.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dimfin. And like, thanks as well to the likes of Darrow Crohoor and Mairead Murphy, who are, you know, guests on the programme as well. We had a brilliant crew, Deglan Dupuyer, Catherine Murray, Ben Ryan. They came out with us on five different days to do filming, and they're long days as well. So, and thanks as well to everybody in Nemeton TV as well, for all the support. It's been a great journey. Look, hopefully this will go to a wider audience. Hopefully the Waterford Film Festival is coming up in a couple of months. Hopefully we'll see it on that, and fingers crossed in time we'll see it on TG Cahir as well.
We'd see an Al Oscar coming your way, Tomás.
Much sure of that.
Tomás McCarthy, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dimfa.
Niamh Rocket, the Rocket woman herself. How does it feel to sit in your family pub and have everyone gathered here about to watch you on screen?
It's a bit embarrassing, to be honest with you. Yeah, I do see it around, but I kind of get a bit, I suppose, embarrassed or cringe, because I just kind of think of myself as just Niamh, like, you know, at home. And it is very daunting, because, like, there's so many people that had, I suppose, like, an effect on my career and my life. And you want to kind of give a snippet of everyone to everything. So Tomás has captured it really, really well, to be fair to him.
When you look at young girls now thinking of picking up Camogie or even staying in it, because we know that puberty and staying within sport, it's a massive battle, and it will continue to be a big battle. I honestly don't know how you change that. How do you feel when you see young girls about to embark on the same journey that you did?
young girls in sports is something I have a really good passion for. Like, I'm a PE teacher as well, and I just played every sport under the sun since I was like 6 years old. So when I went into secondary school, I played like hockey, soccer, football, camogie. I suppose only thing that when I actually became a teacher did I realise that some people actually don't like PE. So I was so in the zone. I was like, this is like the Olympics for me, and some people don't like it. And then I suppose I got me thinking about why people don't participate, you know, like even to stay fit, healthy, you know, for your own headspace even, like, you know. I'm always encouraging, I'm not all camogie in school. If you ask any of my students, I'm very much of get out, get exercise, get moving, do whatever suits you or whatever adapts your lifestyle, so whatever you like. So I try to offer as many sports as I can to students that not the same soccer every day or volleyball every day that some people might have been, I suppose, exposed to. But it is something I'm really, really passionate about. And even, I suppose, up until recently of the skirts and shorts controversy as well, like, you know, just making it, like, if one person drops out of camogie over the shorts of the skirts, like, that's one person too many, you know. So just giving girls a chance to really express themselves, and whatever the sport is, that they know that they belong and that there is a sport out there, to just to be physically active, I suppose. I have no bother making a stand for something that I know that, like, it's a representative of everyone, you know. And that's all I hoped when Watford and our whole team is all, that's all we hope, that when we, I suppose, make a stand to not play the Munster final, that it was a representative, that we weren't just representing ourselves and our families, we're representing every girl that wants to have a choice in it, you know. And it's, I suppose, it's a lot more bigger than just not playing a match. It's more of like, listen to us. It's more like, make sure that you understand what's going on, like, you know, that listen to us and listen to what we want, and that we do have a voice. And it's like, just because it's been the way the last 100 years doesn't mean that it has to be the way now. I suppose in the men's sport, they're just so ahead on that, you know, they really listen to the player's voice, and it just takes a phenomenal push for females to get that over the line. And I just hope that I'd be just doing right by the girls around, you know, that, like, it's not about making girls wear skirts or making girls wear shorts, it's just by giving them a choice to wear skirts or short, that you have a voice and you're able to protect your voice and your voice should be listened to.
Do you ever feel pressure, Niamh? Do you ever kind of feel like, oh jeez, Niamh, we're still going?
Yeah, I do, actually, to be honest with you. There is a lot of pressure, because sometimes although camogie is a massive part of my life and I'm like gotten so many opportunities for it, sometimes I just want to go in and just be Niamh, like, you know, or talk about fashion or talk about Zara clothes or holidays or books, you know. Because I suppose it's the first thing that people see when they see me is like camogie. I'm going to talk about camogie, and we might be having a big defeat, or we might be after having, you know, camogie might be going as well for me, and that's the first thing people want to talk about with me, which I respect. Like, as my sisters tell me, that comes with the territory, girl, you know. Yeah, that comes with the territory. So I get great buzz off, especially with my niece and nephews as well. Like, they love going to the matches, and Cal in particular, being going up trying to puck around me all day every day and going to the pitches with me. Yeah, it's something that people kind of just think of, they associate with you straight away, like, you know. And then sometimes camogie is going great, but sometimes camogie isn't going great and you feel like you're leaving people down because you're not performing up to your standard. Or if I go to, I could be drinking a Sprite, but people might think it might be a glass of West Coast Cooler, you know. And there's that pressure there that people are like, I'm just sitting here drinking my Sprite and she shouldn't be out this late, she shouldn't be doing that. So there's a lot of pressure in that sense. But it's something I love, I suppose. And you're out of pocket a lot with camogie, with expenses and just gymming and, you know, all the extra bits that people don't see. Like, I'm glad that, I'm thankful that I can have the opportunity to play, and that the standard in camogie is at a rising massively in Waterford in the last 2 or 3 years. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, I got injured against Derry there on the weekend. I got 6 stitches in my ear. And there was a phone call made by a supporter that was at the match to another doctor who stitched me up in his kitchen. So I won't name the doctor because I'm not sure is it allowed to happen. I was meant to be going to plastic surgery down in Cork, but he stitched me up in his kitchen to save me a journey to surgery. And he's like, no, you represent your county, fair play to you, that's free of charge. And, you know, there's so much goodwill out there for camogie at the moment, so, like, I'm really grateful for that.
I in particular will always have a special old spot in my heart for teachers. I used to be a teacher 155 million years ago, Niamh. Would you recommend it as a profession?
Yeah, I also get a lot of grief from my sisters. My sisters sound like they bully me, but they're actually always...
I've got one of those, don't worry.
Like, and they say that teacher holidays are ridiculous. My brother also says that we should be have made correct to state exams as well and all this stuff. Yeah, you get a lot of grief in my family as a teacher. And I was like, you all sat the same even cert. We all sit in the same CO. You could have done it to yourselves. So that's my comeback to them. But it's a great profession, to be fair. Like, what you put in, you get back out of it. And, you know, you meet so many different people and you can have an effect on someone's, some student's life at any stage, you know, where it might be just a kind word or a smile or a joke with them. Like, you don't know what's going on at home with them. So I do find it very rewarding in that sense.
Thank you so much for your time, your honesty. It was refreshing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much to Dimfna for that report, and a massive well done to both Tomás McCarthy and Niamh Rocket on that incredible film, Rocket Woman. I really hope people will get a chance to see it in the weeks and months ahead. I must say as well, it's fantastic to see people with public platforms, you know, shining a light and being so open and candid, speaking about mental health and depression as well. I think both Tomás and Niamh spoke so, so powerfully about that as well. Their open honesty will really, really help a lot of people, and I think they should both be very, very proud of themselves. Niamh Rocket, one of the best camogie players in the country. Tomás McCarthy, one of the best GAA reporters in the country. They make a powerful duo, that's for certain. And I see firsthand myself every day and hear the amount of work that Tomás McCarthy puts in, the rapport that he has with many players from all different various age groups across Waterford. And Tomás, I must say, you should be incredibly, incredibly proud of yourself for that one. Massive well done to you. As for Niamh, wish her and all of her teammates the very best this weekend as they take on Dublin in a crucial match in the All-Ireland series as well. And Tomás will most likely be there giving you updates from that one as well. So back to the day job in that respect. And the ladies footballers in action against Leitrim. Leitrim lost by 35 points to Dublin last time out, a side that Waterford drew it. So Waterford will have to better that result. But that's going to be a very, very big ask. After the break, we're going to be talking all things soccer, reflecting on a poor night for Waterford FC in Sligo. Ray Scott is on the way. Now, for our final part this evening, we're going to turn our attentions to soccer, and Waterford FC's fortunes didn't get any better up in Sligo. 4-0 loss last time out, which led to the sacking of Keith Long, and they travelled to the showgrounds on Saturday night. They did win at the showgrounds on the opening night of the season, a 3-2 victory. They were hoping to repeat the trick, but went down 1-0 thanks to a 28-minute goal from Wilson Waweru. Ray Scott was there for WLR Sport. He has the story of the match, and he spoke to manager John Coleman afterwards.
The Blues got what they thought was the perfect start when Padraig Amond had the ball in the net inside 2 minutes, but the goal was ruled out by a late flag for offside. Sligo broke the deadlock in 20 minutes when Jad Hakiki got behind the Blues defence, and when he pulled the ball back, it was Wilson Waweru who reacted, and he fired home from close range. A free kick from Tommy Lonergan 15 minutes later nearly caught Sam Sargent, but he got down to smother the ball. While James Olienka also tested the former Blue just after the hour with a shot from the top of the area that was spilled by Sargent, but scrambled away by the Sligo defence. Waterford continued to press forward with a great move ending with a Kyle White cross being met by Grant Horton, but he headed straight at the keeper. Waterford had strong claims for two penalties when John Mann appeared to handle the ball as he tried to clear a cross, while in injury time Ben McCormack appeared to be barged to the ground, but the referee waved both of the claims away. Despite the majority of possession, Waterford could not find a way through, and Sligo held on for a vital 3 points. The final score, Sligo Rovers 1, Waterford FC 0. John, how do you sum tonight up? Because this was a game that maybe got away from us.
Missed opportunity. You know, we did enough to win the game. We were the better team. But, you know, the our stats, we'll have been ahead in every stats, but the goals column. So, you know, you've just got to accept it that that's football. And if you're not prepared to lose, don't play the game. You know, the performances, we didn't hit the heights that I know we can. Particularly, you know, our attacking threat that's been flying all week in training. I've been really impressed with them. I've been impressed with them since I came here, to be fair. They just weren't at it as much as what they have been. And I think if they'd have been, come to the party a bit more, and, you know, they still played relatively well, I think we'd have won the game comfortably. But that's football for you. You know, you don't always get what you deserve, but you've got to carry on believing that you're playing the right way. To be doing enough to win a game, for sure we did, but, you know, we didn't. And so we've got to own that. Not going to look for any excuses. Not going to blame anything or complain about anything. Football's football. It can be a harsh, cruel game sometimes, and then it can be pleasing. You know, if you look at the way Sligo's been going, they've had no luck, or they've had loads of luck or bad luck, and they probably got the payback tonight. So that's what.
When you looked at the start that we got, that goal, Hodge had it in the net, very late flag to rule it out. That might have put a completely different complexion on the game.
Again, you know, you can't complain about decisions. They're referees and the linesmen are here to officiate, and they do the best they can. So, Hodge thinks their lads headed it, so which would have meant he was onside, but I can't give them decisions. So, you know, it's one of them. You just got to accept that whatever gets put in front of you.
We can't talk about the two penalty decisions as well then either, can we?
Well, it's pointless moaning about them. You know, we haven't had a penalty all season. So why start moaning now? I seen the penalty that St. Pat's got here a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, it paled in significance to them too. But that's football. You don't always get the decisions. And don't moan about it. Don't use it as an excuse. Own your performances. We've got to be responsible for everything that we do. Big shout out to the fans who were magnificent tonight. Travelling all the way, you know, I've got to take my hat off to them. I just wish they could have been going home happier. But, you know, we've got to accept that we're playing well. And we've got to now turn that into winning performances. You know, that's four games now that we haven't won. And we should have won every single one of them. So, you know, we've got to be better then. We will get better.
On the positive side, Jesse Dempsey comes in.
Fantastic.
You know, because of the changes you had to make with the injuries, Rowan McDonald suspended as well. He really solid game there. And fantastic. Then Sean Keane as well making his debut. I mean, they were the real big positives.
Great to see the youngsters coming through and yeah, they're very good both of them. And, you know, on another day, they'd have been celebrating, you know, their performances as well. But I've been in the game a long time and I know that you can never take anything for granted, and you don't always get what you think you should get. But I've learned over the years that you've got to own what you do on the pitch. Don't look to blame anybody else. Don't look for excuses. Don't, you know, I mean, the daddy made excuse, oh, we're a bit rusty after the break. That's a load of nonsense. And, you know, and we're not going to do that. And I've told the lads that. I told that before the game. So there's no excuses, you know, that we didn't get what we deserved tonight, but we were the masters of our own downfall in the fact that we give the ball away cheaply often in the first half, and one of them instances led to a goal.
And just finally that goal, again, we've spoken so often about the, you know, conceding silly goals. They've cost us in the last two games where we should have had wins instead of draws. Tonight it's cost us where we haven't got a win.
It has. And, you know, that's the thing, but you know, we've got to keep working hard to iron out the mistakes. You know, we've limited. I've watched Sligo a lot this season. They've made more chances than that in every game they've played. So we've limited them to barely nothing. And second half, they never. I said in there, a tongue in cheek, I think Stevie put weight on and goal in the second half. You know, and he had nothing to do. And so, you know, it's one of them, but keep going.
Thanks very much to Ray for that. Commiserations to Waterford FC, back in action on Friday night at home to Bohemians, and in action again on Monday against Shelburne. So a busy 4 days for the Blues. We'll leave it there for this week. Another very busy weekend of sport coming up here on WLR. Waterford versus Dublin in the All-Ireland Camogie Championship. Waterford on the road to Leitrim in the Ladies Football Championship. Waterford FC in action against Bohemians on Friday, and Shelburne again on Monday. WLR Sport is your one-stop shop to get it all first. Thanks very much to everyone for joining me this evening. John O'Shea is on the way with some great music. You have a fantastic week, and I'll see you next Monday.